Welcome to Relevant Live with Pastor Chris Sarno, a weekly podcast from Relevant Church in Daytona Beach, Florida. We pray this message helps you connect to God as you find your place, reveal your purpose, and unlock your potential. Let's head live to Pastor Chris for today's powerful message.
No limits. No, everybody say no limits. No limits, November, amen. What do you mean no limits? Well, your life, if you're not careful, you'll start living a limited life. If you're not careful, you'll start living a life with limitation, but God wants you to live a life without limitation. Is that okay? Yeah. Come on, I've been giving you 40 minutes of raw word, man. It's just, I want you to take this up. You'll live a limited life. You'll live an unexpected life. You'll live a life beneath the life that Christ wants you to have. And the reason why we do this is sometimes we do not renew our mind to the life that God wants us to have. It's not our fault, but sometimes we live in the limitation of humanity when God never wanted you to live in the limitation of humanity. He wants you to live an unlimited life, the best life, the blessed life, a supernatural life. Look what he says right here in Proverbs 4 and 12. I want you to write these scriptures down. You're going to need them because your limitation is usually based upon your perception. Sometimes how you see you, or how you see the situation, or how you see the circumstances, we're gonna lift your lid. We're gonna let you see things greater than ever before. Look what he says right here, right? Your progress will have no limits when you come along with me, and you will never stumble as long as you walk with me along the way. That's what he's saying. So you got to kind of merge your life into the Word, amen. And a lot of times we don't merge our life into the Word as much as we should. Because we have ideas about things that we really need a biblical perspective on. Is that okay? Like you think your life, hey man, my life's here. God's like, no, I want your life here. And sometimes what happens is that step up is so big, we kind of limit it because we're like, man, I don't know if I could believe that about me. You know what I mean? Like, am I really like that in your eyes, God? Do you really care about me that? He does, but you got to get a revelation of it. And once you get a revelation of it, then you can produce it. But without a revelation, you can't produce it. Is that okay? You get what I'm saying? Because we work in too much on works. We want to look at our position and go, well, you know, performance is determining where I can go with God. I got news for you. Your performance has nothing to do with where you can go with God. And the quicker you lose your performance and just take your position, you're going to elevate your game light years ahead of where you are. Does that make sense? Now, what am I saying? You got to just saturate yourself into the Word of God. Like, you got to take your life and smack it into the Word of God and be like, I'm going to be a doer of this thing, man. I'm being serious. Because you have to renew your mind. See, this is what everybody thinks. Well, it's my old nature, or, you know, it's old. No, there ain't no old nature you. There's only a new you. That's why you got born again. Hello? Yeah. You see, because I'm going to tell you right here now. Jesus Christ redeemed you, but he never left you in the same bodily position he redeemed you from. See, people don't realize this. Let me show you, okay? Because we're going to walk and talk the Word, dude. I'm serious about it. He didn't redeem you to leave you where you were. He redeemed you for the new birth. You ain't no sinner saved by grace. Shut that out of your head, man. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, man. Elevate your mind beyond religion and limitation and walk in the newness of who you are, but made in Christ. He didn't redeem you. Redemption could not, this is going to sound bad, but it's true. You can study it out. Redemption could not leave you in the condition where you were. Therefore, he gave you a brand new life in Christ. Amen. Now, you just got to believe me when I'm telling you. Well, when he redeemed you, did he leave you back in you? No, he put you in him. He took you out of you and put you in him. That's where redemption is perfected. That I'm not living in a righteousness of my own. I'm living in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Never been one like you before. You're a supernatural being. You say, well, I don't believe that about me. Well, you got to start believing it and start renewing your mind to it. And I this morning, I got only so far. So I was like, bump it. I'm talking about it all week. I'll come back next week. We're going to talk about it. We're going to get this thing in you till you come out of this thing in a couple weeks. Like, I know, man, I'm serious renewing my mind who I am. You don't have no old nature. You just got an unrenewed mind. We all do. Yeah. You got to work overtime to renew your mind. It ain't easy. People think they're going to go in there and renew your mind. Like, no. You got to fight everything to renew your mind. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to look at some scriptures that are going to help you. And then you got to use the word of God, because the word of God's got the power to produce faith to believe this about you. And you, that's why you don't just go to normal church. Because you can't duplicate what you do not have. The only thing that can be duplicated in your life is what is based upon revelation. So there's access. You see the shift? There's access to do this, not because I know what I'm doing, but because God's backing it up. So you could live the, you could change. 2023 would be the best year of your life if you listen to me. I'm not kidding, bro. The devil's scared of you, man. People running away from the devil. Run in his face. Destroy him. What do you mean? What are you talking? Is this guy nuts? No, I'm. Why? What are you running away from? What battles are you running away from? What fears are you still facing? None of this stuff. And don't you be scared to say what God said about your situation. Tell the whole earth. He loves faith. Get your faith so far down on the edge that the only place and the only person that can save you is God. Get your faith so far out there you're scared. You know what I'm saying? Get your faith so far out there, you so scared, like, God, if you don't come through, woo, I got some explaining to do, but praise me to God, I never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. You know what I'm saying? Get out there. We only got one life to live. Let's maximize it. Come on. Come on, man. Stop living in that status quo Christianity, hiding in the corner over there like a bunch of babies. Get out there on the edge and say, praise be to God. I'm going to declare a thing and I'm going to see it. I'm going to say what God says and speak it and say it and see it and do it and live the next life, the best life. You want to know why? That's what he said he wants for you. So all you're doing is taking the place that he gave you. Don't live with no limitation. Live the unlimited life. I didn't know I could have access to it. After you're done in here, you're going to see all of it. He said, well, I don't want you to live a life limited. Look what Jesus says in John. Look at this. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. Everybody said, Jesus said it. Don't get mad at me. I just read it. I didn't write it. Right? Look at this in here, right? Look what he says. For here is an eternal truth. How many like that? Eternal truth. This ain't just the truth. This is a truth that lasts forever. How many like the eternal truth stuff? You like that? Praise be to God, right? This is forever, right? Look, when the time comes, you won't need to ask me for what? Anything. Now he's saying what? When I'm gone, he was there in person. He's like, hey, I'm here. You can ask me, but there's going to be a day I'm gone. And when you ask the Father, he's going to do it so your joy can be full. But look at how he explains it. Dale, you're going to like this. This is really good, all right? Check this out. He's a word guy, right? Come on. When the time comes, you won't need to ask me anything. But instead, you will go directly to the Father and ask him anything you desire, and he will give it to you. Because what? Because of your relationship with me. That's Jesus saying that. He's like, you're going to go right to God the Father and ask it, and he going to do it because you got relationship with me. Now look at the next verse. Watch it now. Here it comes. You got it? Until then, you've not been bold enough to ask my Father a single thing. Right? Ask. Get bold. You know, you want to, let me show you something. You know what boldness is birthed out of? There's a scripture in the Bible. I can read it to you next week. How about we read it next week? But I'll just give you the quick version of it. You remember that story in the Bible where a man said this? It says, a guy comes to this dude's house in the middle of the night and he asks him for loaves of bread. But it's the middle of the night and his kids are sleeping, so he doesn't want to get up. And he couldn't understand how you'd come banging on somebody's door. Be like, I come banging on your door at 3 o'clock in the morning looking for bread. Friend, think I'm crazy. Like, why are you bugging me now? Why are you asking for bread? Go to Walmart. Leave me alone. Why are you waking? My whole kids are sleeping. What are you doing? And he said this. He says, not because of the man's position, but because of his importunity, he has no problem. That word importunity means boldness. That word boldness is based upon a confidence. You want to know where that boldness and impotence comes from and all that kind of attitude would come from? A revelation of righteousness. Why? Because once you know you're righteous, you don't really care who you're bugging. You know what I'm saying? I'm expecting it, not out of audacity, but I'm expecting it out of my position, which you gave me. So you got no problem being bold. I'm going to wake Jerry up 3 o'clock. Matter of fact, I'm going to try that. I'm going to go to your house and wake you up 3 o'clock. Don't laugh. I know where you live too. I'll show up 3 o'clock and I'll say, hey, where's those loaves of bread? I'm just having an illustrated sermon. Paul, if I come banging on your door, and illustrated sermon day. Come on, you get what I'm saying though? What are you trying to say here? It's birth in what? A revelation of righteousness. So the understanding of righteousness that I have produces a better position of me in the earth, and we don't understand righteousness a lot. Now it's not, we got to renew our mind to this, because church has been teaching us religion all these days of our life, man. You ain't there. Come on, man. Look at the nonsense we came out of. Everything is works related. Yes. Christianity today is works related. If you're not careful, you don't feel bold because you don't feel like you're living it upright. And because you don't feel like you're living it upright, you don't feel bold to go to God and say, God, you're like, hey, I know what I was doing last night, and so does Jesus. Now, everybody come to me, well, Pastor Chris, you're giving them a license to sin. You don't need no license. You've been a professional for a long time, even without a license. Some of you are real good at it, you know what I'm saying? You're like a professional. Man, you're a professional sinner. My God in heaven, you got a PhD in sinning. You're good at it, right? No, but what am I trying to get you to understand? That it's not based on my merit of my behavior. It's given to me on my position in Christ. So the fastest way you can find your position in Christ, you're going to come out of your own identity and your works and behavior. Now, that's going to take a little bit of a moment for me to give you revelation. So I'm going to take my time and do it. Okay? Does that make sense? But just go slow. And we ain't in no hurry now, guys. You got to understand this, right? So pull this in. Look what it says in Ephesians 1 and 3. Write these scriptures down. You can go back over them. They're in the Passion. They read easier. Because, you know, here's the thing with the King James. It says Ephesians 1, 3 in the King James, basically all spiritual blessings in heavenly places have been given unto you. That's what Fancy Wafer says. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places have already been given to the church. I like the way it reads better here because it clarifies more. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a lovely gift from our wonderful heavenly Father. How do you get around that? Did you get it? Did you pull it in? Let's go slow. Everybody there? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a gift. So that means everything you need in life in Christ has already been given to you. Christianity, 9 out of 10 times what? I got to work to get it. No, you got to just live to receive it. It's already done. You're not trying to fight it to get it, and you got it, just don't give it up. Is that a difference? Okay, like, it'd be like this. A fighter with a championship belt on, right? He's the champ. You got to come try to take the belt from him. He's the champion of the world. You're not fighting to get the belt. You already got the belt. Just keep it on. That's how Jesus sees it. It's on. Look what he says, right? The Father of our Lord Jesus, all because he sees us wrapped into Christ. This is why we celebrate him with all our hearts. You can even read verse 4 if you want. I think we read it before. And he chose us to be his very own, joining us to himself even before he laid the foundation of the universe. You got to believe this about you. And he chose us to be his very own, joining us to himself when? Even before he laid the foundation of the universe, because of his great love, he ordained us so that we'd be seen as holy in his eyes with an unstained innocence. Now watch this. How does God see you? That's how God sees you. Well, that's not how I see me. Well, not to be mean, I don't really care how you see you. You don't know you as good as God knows you. That's the way God sees you. Well, how can he do that? Because he wanted to. Well, why would he want to do that? How in the world do I know? I don't care. Just take your place. Yeah. God sees you like holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. He put it in the book. Don't get mad about it. Just receive it. But religion doesn't teach you that. That's right. Religion teaches you God's mad at you. God's not happy with you. God wants a better performance out of you. God wants this. God wants that. God, blah, blah, blah. How about this? No, you've been made righteous. Once I tell you how good you are, you'll start living into your righteous position. Do you get that? It's the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance, which is change. Hello? Amen. So beating you over the head ain't making you no better. Let me tell you the life Christ, that's spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is, let me show you how good I am, God saying, and then you'll live up to the label, and then you're going to be like this. Well, I can't talk broke if I want the benefit of blessed, so now it's changing my vernacular, how I speak. I can't talk sick if I want well. I'm not allowed to talk like that. I can't be talking negative. You can't be talking divorce in your house. Y'all better shut up with that D word in your house. Because I got them in 9 o'clock. You think you're all ballers talking all this nonsense. But I'll divorce you. You better shut up with that talk. Yeah. Don't let that devil in your house. Yeah. What you mean, divorce is the devil? Yeah, it's the devil. God don't want you to. You could work it out. Two people open. I got people all the time. I almost threw the Bible at the one nitwit. They laugh in the Bible. Don't come for counseling with me unless you're ready. People want to come in here and lie to me. So don't lie to me, man. I got mad. I slammed the Bible. Pastor Liz still tells the stories. Everybody got mad at me, but you slamming Bibles and yelling at people. I said, I don't like the way certain people try to come and posture themselves with me. She all in there cranky like she's going to tell me what was up. I said, no. You're out of order. And you don't like it, and I'm going to put it in order because I didn't come here to play. I'm going to tell you the truth. You don't like the truth, don't ask. You don't want to come see me. I'm very kind. I'm the kindest guy you've seen. I'm a nice guy all the time. I'm serious. Miss Linda was with me for years. But I was yelling at nobody. Don't come out here, and try to tell me what the Bible says. You about ready to get in a fight you ain't ready for. Please. So coming here and all this nonsense, and I was like, no, you're out of order, and you better stop saying this. This is your position in the Bible. And the boy, guys, I'm telling you right here now, you got greater responsibility than at home. You do. And one of you understand your role and responsibility. Jesus said, you got to love her like Jesus loved the church. You know what he did for the church? He died. You just keep dying. And when you think you're dead, you're half dead. It's true. And ladies, look, man, you thought he was a stud. Now you got him. All right? So whatever. He's a work in progress. And I can help him if you'll listen. But if you don't listen, that's your project, man. Some of you are real, real project. You better think twice. Yeah, with the shirt and on and everything. Oh, my God. I don't know who dressed you. But hey, come on. Right? So you let her pick out your clothes from now on, though, bro. That's all I can tell you. Please. Stop. Right? But you see what I'm saying? But then you want to come in the house and you want to be throwing around slang like, well, I'll get divorced. Blah, blah, blah. What are you? Are you crazy? No. Stop. Stop talking that. So now I can't say what I want to say because how many of you know if I say what the Bible tells me to say, I'm not allowed to have an opinion anymore, Pastor Chris. So I have no opinion about nothing. Because if I say what I want to say, I'm probably going to say something I shouldn't say. Are you here? So what do you say? What does God say? I love my wife. I got to train myself, man. Remember when I had the whole church saying that? Oh, my God in heaven. I had the whole church saying that for months. I love my wife. I love Liz. Liz makes me happy every day. You got to laugh. She's not here to defend herself. Don't tell her. Come on. Are you with me? It's a work in progress. Don't be. Spiritual growth is forced by the blessings of God, not the punishment from God. The church was so jacked up, they tried to get people to fear God to grow, and all it did was create law and even more sin, and people quit on Jesus because people taught it wrong. So if I come in here and say, hey, you want to have the blessed, best life? Say what God says. And let me tell you something about God. He ain't got no problem. Nobody's going to like this, but I don't care. You're going to like it because you're a finance guy. You know what I mean? He's a numbers guy. He can help you, right? You understand what I'm saying? God's got no problem giving you his wallet if you'll give him your life. Because God don't show up with the bogus package. He shows up with the benefit package. If you say what I say, here's the life you can have. Here's the marriage you can have. Here's the kids you can have. Those kids look like they're out in left field. Here's the kids you can have if you say what I say. Here's the life you can have. Here's the mind you can have. You start learning to cast your cares, you will not live in internal chaos no more. You will not be living in torment within yourself. You start learning these principles of heaven, and you finally had enough, and then you think, no, now you're speaking the word, living the word, walking the word, talking the word, and now you're growing like what? Light years of speed and growth. Because why? The blessing, not the punishment. That's what Jesus does with you. He gets you so focused on forward thinking, you don't want to go backward no more because the blessing of God is leading me to the place where I'm going to go because change and transformation is hitting my life. Are you with me today or what? Come on. I told you it's going to be 40 minutes of raw word, man. I gave you too much, you'll forget what I said. And you're like, oh, Pastor Chris, how long can you preach? Don't ask. You don't want to know. And I think I preached like one time 8 hours in a day. Yeah, I really did. I did three mornings. Yeah, they weren't even wearing me out. I was still ready to go. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, it was probably like 8 hours, and then came back at night and did even more. Well, it's like anything else. You do your thing, I do my thing. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. No, I'm just telling you, this is, just write them down, no. You got to write these down. You got to go back. It's like homework. You got to go back. You can't get these all in one shot. 2 Corinthians 5:17, look what it says in the passage. This is what it says, you're a new creature in Christ. Never been one like you before? You got to believe this about yourself. Look what it says. Now, if anyone is unfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new person. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Be what? Behold, everything is fresh and new. Did you get that? So what's that mean? Now watch this. How many of you know that's a miracle of thinking for you to understand that? What do you mean I'm a new creature in Christ? Never been one like me before. That's the miracle of salvation. You got to believe it though. Does that make sense? So the minute you got born again, you became a new creature in Christ. Now watch this. I know where the hangup is, okay? Because I got to ask questions, answer the questions, and then figure out how to work with your head. Okay? So a lot of you got saved, and after you got saved, you were still acting a little wacky. Isn't that the big problem? I got born again. If I'm a new creature in Christ, why in the heaven was my performance so bad? Because you didn't know who you were and you didn't renew your mind. I got saved in 94. You know how many stupid things I did from 94 till now? I'm masterfully dumb things. How many of you been in my boat? Come on, man. Right? Come on, right? Like, man, Pastor, at 90, you've been married, you've been saved a long time. You messed up how many times? Billion times, probably. But guess what? The new birth didn't start and stop in 94. The new birth is a constant, perpetual blessing each and every moment of life. You never leave new. Okay. Just try to picture it like this. Every day it's new. It doesn't have an expiration date. It doesn't go 94, you became new, and then you got 10 years into Christianity, now there's an older new. No, new is every morning. How does he do that? By the power of his blood. I was walking one day. I said, you got to explain this to me, Jesus, because I don't understand it. He said, no, every time you're walking, I'm washing. I said, say that slow. He said, every time you're walking, I'm washing you perpetually in the blood of Jesus, because that way it keeps you consistently in the newness of the revelation of Christ in you, the hope of glory. So when you're moving, because God doesn't live in time. See, we don't live. See, here's the thing. You have Kairos and Chronos, right? If you have some of you got a chronological watch, right? It's chronologically deciding time, how it all does and all that stuff, right? And then you have Kairos is God's time. But when you live in God, you only live in now. He doesn't leave. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. But he never goes what? In anywhere but today, right now. He lives perpetually in the moment of time called now. That we know naturally. He's already been in the beginning and the end. He was here before the foundation of the world. So time isn't like time to God. So God doesn't move a minute into your future nor a minute in your past. He just stays in right now. And because we live on chronological time, you might say like, oh, 10 minutes from now, 20 minutes from now. Yeah, but God doesn't live in time. He just lives in now. So right now, everything to God is now. Amen. Are you here? So like you don't take one step into, he's like clean. There's no old to you. You're a new creature in Christ perpetually every minute and every moment of time. God doesn't leave now. So when you step into the minute ahead, God's washed you. And he's washing. And he's washing. That blood don't stop. That's why the devil stands before the throne of God making accusation. The Bible says in the book of Revelations, he accuses the brethren day and night. Every time he accuses you, Jesus goes, sorry, can't stick it on him. Why? Because he brings you to the basin of blood where his blood was poured on the mercy seat of God. And he said, what? In your time of need, come. That's why 1 John 1:9 isn't for the God, it's for you. 1 John 1:9 is all messed up in the Bible because it says, if you sin, go to God and ask him for forgiveness. I got news for you. Jesus never stopped forgiving you. You need it 1:9 for your conscience. God doesn't need it for his. He perpetually washed you once and for all, never stops washing you. Why do you need it? Because when you don't feel like you meet the standard of God's righteousness, you live beneath the boldness that Christ has given you. He gave you 1 John 1:9 so you could what? Have a place of confession to restore your what? Consciousness to God, not your position with God. Your position with God never left. Amen. It's just for your sanity. Well, how are you going to stick sin on somebody that's sinless? You don't have the capacity to sin. I don't care who you are. Can't do it. You do have one capacity, walk out of faith. That's called unbelief. That's the only sin you'll commit as a new believer or any believer in Christ. The only sin that a Christian commits is the sin of unbelief. Because if you stay in faith, you'll fulfill all the law. The moment you come out of faith, see, if I don't walk in love, it's not because I'm a sinner. It's because I'm a person without faith in that moment right there because my belief system's not right. And that's the only place you fail. Come on, do the math, guys, in your head. I know I'm tweaking religion and I'm twisting your head a little bit, but it's good for you. How's Jesus going to take sin to the cross and he's still going to have power over you? He annihilated it once and for all. It's done. Can't even find it. So where's our hang up? Unrenewed mind and we walk out of faith. That's all it is. He'll show up, see? Why is he here? He likes this stuff. How can you do that? How can you feel that? He's confirming what I'm saying. Sometimes you got to be able to walk out in the silence and not worry about, why would God, because he's confirming it to your heart and your head. I'm right. You don't have to live like that no more. When you come into the presence of God, you're not coming there with any of your merit or your ability. I'm coming in there because he made me righteous with his righteousness. Okay, let me ask you this. Is God okay with Jesus? Is he? Did Jesus fulfill all the requirements of everything his father asked him? So is God and Jesus okay with one another? Is Jesus righteous? Is Jesus in right standing with God? Yes. Where'd you get your righteousness from? Jesus. So you don't have your own righteousness? Right. No. You got it from who? Jesus. So if God is okay with Jesus, then he's got to be okay with me because I'm not in here on my own merit. I'm in here on his righteousness card. Just swipe it, baby. Swishing, swishing, swishing. Accredited righteousness. It ain't my righteousness. So I'm not here on any of my ability. I'm here on his ability. So why in heaven would I be looking at my ability to understand if I deserve to be here? So why don't you just take your place? Well, he should have never gave it to me. Too late. He already did. He don't know how I'm going to be. I seen you before in the beginning. I know. You know these words like adopted? Anybody ever been adopted? Is anybody adopted in here? You don't have to raise your hand if you feel weird. But anybody that's been adopted, you got adopted. You know what's funny about adoption? You're more special than the people that just had dad, kids, whatever. Look, those jokers I got, you couldn't send them back, bro. They come out, here's what you got. You don't like it, get over it. Somebody picked you. Somebody had to look at pictures and pick you. You got adopted. That means you're even more special than the ones that just came out. Obviously, you came out, but you know what I'm saying? You can't send them back. Somebody picked you. Somebody looked at you, said, hey, here's what this kid looks like. Here's what's going on. Blah, 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 blah. So don't ever think you're inferior. You're not. You were chosen. Why do you think Jesus uses terminologies? We were adopted. He saw your resume before. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's seen the blunders. He's seen the boneheaded things. He's seen you. He still sent Jesus for you. So don't worry about how messed up you think you are. He already got the videotape on it. Had no problem and sent Jesus. So why are you holding back from your position with limitation? Because you don't think like you deserve something he wanted to give you. Take it. I'm good. Are you taking it or not? Are you getting my picture? Are you pulling this in? Look at this. You got to see this. What do you think? Now, this is where we're going to pick up to next week. Where do you think the biggest problem is going to be? I think it's going to be in our understanding of righteousness. Write that down. Our lack of understanding of our righteousness is where a limitation is being produced. Our lack of understanding of our righteousness is where limitation is being produced. Is that okay? Okay? You guys are doing good. You feeling it? Our lack of understanding of our righteousness is where our limitations are being produced. Look at Romans 4 and 1. Look at Romans 4 and 1. You guys got this? Okay, just pull this in. Now I need you to absorb this, and then I'm gonna talk about righteousness next couple of weeks. I really think I want to pound this thing home. I felt it at 9 o'clock. I'm feeling it really in my spirit. I'll give you a course on righteousness the next couple of weeks. Maybe we'll get all the way through the holiday till Christmas, a couple of weeks of it. You need to know who you are in Christ. It's really important. Okay, so now he starts talking about Abraham. Let me use Abraham as an example. What is the example? It is clear that humanly speaking, he was founded what? Of Judaism. What was his experience of being made right with God? Now let me explain it and let me pull this in. Are you here? Okay. Let me use Abraham as an example. What is he saying? Hey, let's look at Abraham to understand how righteousness was established. Let's not look at anything else. He was outside of covenant, but it is clear what? He was founded of Judaism. What's that mean? He's outside of covenant. Here we go. What was his experience of being made right with God? So how was Abraham made right with God? Verse 2, watch. Was it by his good works of keeping the law? No. For if it was by the things he did, he would have something to boast about, but no one can boast before God. Did you get that? Does that make sense? He's like, Abraham wasn't made right with God because he went in there and said, look at the good things I did to pull it off. So why in the heaven would we try to go in there and go, look at my Christianity, isn't it great? Had nothing to do with it. Come on. Watch this. Listen to what the scripture says. Because Abraham believed God's word, his faith transferred God's righteousness into his account. Oh my God. Leave that up there. Read it slow. What the scripture says, Abraham had faith in what God said, and God transferred righteousness to him. When you believe Jesus with faith, Jesus transferred his righteousness to you. Well, who took your sin? Jesus. So how in the heaven can we come out of Jesus if he took our sin? That means we got to stay in him. That's where the new birth makes sense. I was born in Christ. I stepped out of Chris and stepped into Christ the minute I got born again. Don't come back out. Stay in your in him identity. Now watch this. Everyone that talks to you is going to talk to you outside of your identity except the spiritually smart people around you. Because they're always going to talk to your humanity. I don't care about your humanity. Your humanity means nothing to me. Let me tell you who God said you are. That's why when you pray, G, he never tells you you're going to lose. He never tells you you're weak. You ever go pray to God and goes, oh, this one's too big for me. You better figure it out. You ever go pray to God and go, you're so jacked up, I can't fix this mess. You screwed it up real good this time, son. Nah, he's always talking victory and dominion and power. He finds Gideon, he's jacked up, he's hiding, he's scared. Mighty man of valor. Mighty man of who? Who are you talking to, God? I'm talking to you, Gideon. Why? Because you don't know where I'm taking you. You find everyone about Peter, Paul, John, James. Find them all. They don't know what's. Read their books for crying out loud. He's finding Davids of the world, and he's finding what? Elijahs of the world, and he's finding the Elishas of the world. And what's he telling? You're going to do great things, and he's hiding under a juniper tree. He's scared. He just called fire from heaven. I'm talking to the greatness inside of you, not where you see you. But everybody around you, this is really good. It's not fun, but I'm going to give you a secret. You need to remove the people in your life that talks to you in the season of where you were. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. You're not going to like me. Mm-hmm. You need to remove people out of your life that talk to you in the season of where you work. Guys, all the guys, that's why I like to just be able to sit with you. I mean, you should do that. We should go somewhere and just let me talk to you for like days. Because the problem is this, you become the man of tomorrow while everybody remembers you as the man of yesterday. It's tough. The house has got to shift too. I'll say it again slow. You're becoming the man of tomorrow. Why everybody around you remembers the man of yesterday. They always try to bring you back to a guy you're not anymore. And ladies, you got to be real careful about that. Don't talk to him about that stuff because it's not helping you. Because he just needs to be encouraged. He's got a lot of pressure. I'm telling you, men in the earth have a lot of pressure. And sometimes the girls don't realize that. And it's not you're bad. You're not bad. You're really, really awesome. You're beautiful. You're God's Picasso, girls. You're the best thing he ever made. But you got to really understand the order of it. Otherwise, you'll create pressures in your home. You don't need to. We'll talk about that one day. We'll do a seminar or something. But look at this, because you got to get this. And I'm going to talk about rights the next couple weeks. That was just a bunny trail. If I feel it in my spirit, I'll go with it. This place ain't normal. You know, this thing that wants to be normal. I want God. Amen. You know what I mean? And he'll show up, man. You'll leave here with a greater capacity to go love one another today. Yes. You really will. I'm serious. If you were having problems in the areas of with connection, you'll leave here with a greater love for one another just because what I crushed in this atmosphere. Okay, you got it? Last scripture. Here we go. I'm going to read it, and I'm going to go, and they're going to listen to what the scripture says. Because Abraham believed God's word, his faith transferred righteousness into his account. Did you get it? Did you pull it in? Did you pull it in? You got to pull it in. I'm going to tell you why. It'll change your life forever. Did you get it? We're going to talk about righteousness the next couple of weeks. You did good. Come on, I want you to do this. I want you to stand up on your feet. You need this today. I know she's going to make you sit down, but I really feel like it's okay. No, she's going to make you sit down in a minute to watch a video and all that stuff, but that's a lot of word and that's a lot of atmosphere. I want you to lift your hands to heaven right now, and I want you to believe God. You're never going to be the same again. There's power in the room to produce this, and I'm not in a hurry. I just want you to get this. It's caught by the Spirit of God. This is not, lay hands on me. This ain't lay hands on you. This is get a revelation to you. I know how to flow with this. I had to pray for a guy this morning. He was dying. He ain't going to die though. Lift your hands to heaven. Close your eyes and say this. Say, I want this next life. I want no limitation, and I want to understand who I am in Christ. I want to walk in righteousness, and I'm going to walk in the understanding of this. The next couple of weeks, we're going to learn who we are in Christ. Let me see it, let me believe it, and let me experience it greater than ever before. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, and everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Relevant Live with Pastor Chris Sarnum. If you are interested in learning more about Relevant Church, you can visit us at relevantfl.org. And don't forget to subscribe to our channel to hear more messages like this one every single week. Thanks for listening.